Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, my self-love warriors. Welcome to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we are talking with an incredibly powerful man that I love very much. His name is Tyler Woods. We originally met through the Mankind Project's new warrior training adventure, both staffing there one weekend, and our friendship has grown beautifully since then. I can't wait for you guys to discover what Tyler has to say on the topic of self-love and all of his wisdom. So enjoy! Oh my gosh. Whoa. How did we... Wait a minute. We're in my apartment. Where I live. Were you just like hanging out here?
I was lost in thought.
You were lost in thought.
I was not ready for that.
Whoa. Dang. Spooky coincidence that we're both here then.
Yeah. It is a little spooky.
Tyler, what exactly is happening in the world in this moment?
The world's kind of fiery right now. It's a little bit smoldering.
Uh-huh.
A little bit hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Those of us watching the video can see clearly outside that those are not clouds. Okay? Those are not clouds. That is smoke.
It looks like a zombie movie.
Uh-huh.
And feels like also an end of the world kind of movie.
Yeah, and exactly. And, I mean, Tyler, how does that make you feel? Does that change the core of who you are at all?
It does not change the core of who I am, but it does take away some of my needs.
Mm-hmm.
My need for freedom is, I can't get at it because I go outside. I'm putting myself at risk, breathing in all that smoke. So, I feel boxed in. Feels smaller.
Yeah.
So I'm still Tyler.
Yeah.
But I'm a less free Tyler.
Mmm.
Yeah.
And do you think there's some people out there that might be thinking that the essence of who they are is dissolving?
Oh yeah. I mean, whether or not my personal wants and needs are getting, if they're not getting met, then I mean, it can feel like a pillar of myself is missing. I don't have a thing that I need in my life to prop me up and make me feel strong. So when the world is falling apart around me, then I could definitely see how I might feel like I'm missing a core part of myself.
Yeah. It's spooky stuff. It's spooky stuff.
Yeah.
Just like us accidentally being in the same, you know.
Totally unplanned.
Home. It's totally unplanned, totally unspooky.
You should lock your doors, by the way.
I've been meaning to get around to doing that, but I lost the key. Okay. So I just let it be what it is. My address is 663. Tyler, you have a topic that you want to talk about today.
I don't think I wanted to talk about it. I think I needed to talk about it.
He needs to talk about it. The man needs to talk about it.
Because I woke up this morning very early and I had a text from you saying, hey, let's record a podcast today, this afternoon. And I was like, how the hell can I record a self-love podcast when I feel like just falling to pieces? And I was like, oh, shit. It's not going to be about self-love. It's going to be about being vulnerable and authentic. Woo! Oh,
and maybe there's some parallels there.
Maybe.
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 So what is an aspect of vulnerability that you didn't used to access and that you have access to now?
Showing up when I'm not 100%, when I'm broken or not okay. Even acknowledging those things and not just saying that everything's fine. Carrying on. Yeah.
He did a little smile there, folks.
Yeah, a little.
Okay. Some might call that the mask.
The mask, yeah. Hiding behind the mask, putting on the facade, putting up the wall, mm-hmm. keeping people at distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, when you used to not be able to do that, mm-hmm. how would that end up hurting you?
Well, I just think of, first off, not asking for help. If I'm already hurting and I feel like I can't ask for help or I just don't do it, then it gets worse. Or I feel the burden of having to solve all my own problems. Or it just strengthens the mask, the behavior of going to that first and foremost. It just sets that way of being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And it sounds like there was a moment when you saw that there was another way of being that was actually better for yourself in the short term, the medium term, the long term, which is showing up authentically.
Yeah. Just showing up as who I am, who I want to be, as whatever I am in the moment. Yeah. It's scary, you know? And there's times before I have not fully embraced it. I just think of being the weirdo and being afraid of how I'm going to be perceived or show up in the world. It's like, oh, I'm weird, I'm different. People aren't going to like me or something like that. And I think that's where another thing that strengthened the behavior of hiding behind a mask is, if they're going to think I'm weird, then I might as well just not show myself at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And so with that story of if I show who I am, people think I'm weird, what were some behaviors or parts of yourself that you thought were too weird to
too
show others?
Too weird to show others.
So weird.
I think that goes all the way back to, like, middle school and high school, just having different things that I like to do than other kids who are popular or whatever, and just, like, being into video games or anime, enjoying music that wasn't mainstream or something, just being an outcast and having different hobbies. And not thinking highly enough of myself that they were good enough.
Mm.
Good enough. Like, they're not the things that everyone else does, so I'm weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And almost that being unique or different is a bad thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. And so, when did you begin to show your uniqueness and show your differences?
When did I get to begin to show my unique differences? You know, I think there were sparks a few years, maybe 5 years back, where I started to embrace my physical strengths. I got to do things that I love to do with my body, and with that came some silly quirky things like climbing on things and crawling around on the ground, and those felt very childlike and weird, out of place, out of the norm. So doing that, like, say, at an office when I was just, you know, taking care of my physical body, I felt out of place. I felt different. I felt weird because I wasn't just, like, sitting at a desk for 8 hours like everyone else and not doing anything else. So that was kind of like starting that divide of the other, the weird guy. He's Oh, yes. He's stretching all the time. What is he doing? He's he's taking care of himself. But I didn't see it as that all the time. It was just like, oh, I'm a weird guy stretching all the time or doing that. So it started really peak through there as I was, you know, working in office jobs and taking care of myself. But it didn't really start to blossom until the summer of 2018, when my goal was to find more people, find more friends. I realized my social circle was so very small to non-existent. And my goal was to just have friends, make new friends. And part of that process was going into the world and talking to strangers.
Yeah,
and just trying to find out what that meant to go talk to someone and make friends. It was just like, oh, what do I do? I don't understand. Where do I go? What do I do? And I don't think I truly became comfortable with being authentic until I stepped into a circle of men, sitting with other men and just sharing and feeling comfortable enough and having community for the very first time. A place where I felt that I could really, truly be myself and be seen for who I was. Yeah, that was like a tipping point. Before that, it was all just experimentation. And after that, it was just a nonstop train to something new.
Really? And what is the name of this community of men?
It's not just any old group of dudes. And yet they are just any old group of dudes.
Oh.
It's called the Mankind Project. And it's kind of like a service organization with, I guess, a goal of challenging toxic masculinity. Creating more emotionally aware men through rituals of initiation that my society I live in doesn't really have a lot of healthy ones. So there's things like that. They're sitting in circle.
What are the unhealthy ones that you kind of see?
I think ones that
don't connect to you as much.
I just think of things like gangs and sports teams. And I mean, it can be a healthy place to like bond, to grow into a man, but is it necessarily good to have sports equated with masculinity? And of course, a gang, that's, you know, just perpetuating violence.
Maybe so, a fraternity.
Substance abuse, I can't condone as a healthy ritual initiation into manhood.
Yeah.
And so the Mankind Project has the New Warrior Training Adventure, which is a weekend based on the hero's journey, the descent, the separation from the village, the ordeal, and the return. And so going through that experience, I knew that I needed something in my life. I was at a crossroads and I wanted to change. I'd been living a very codependent relationship with my wife, and I wanted to find what was Tyler on my own. And so going through that experience, coming out the other side, basically kind of like pulling the tape off the window and just seeing that there is something else on the other side. A new way of being. An authentic way of being.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all just started with sitting in circles of men who were just sharing their problems and realizing that I wasn't alone with what I was bringing.
Wow. And Tyler, since that initiation, that weekend, you have kind of risen above. You know, you have risened.
I've risened and roused.
Up, and now you lead a circle here in Seattle, Washington. Beautiful Seattle, Washington, the greater Seattle area.
As I gesture to the smoky window.
So
it was really exponential, the change in my life. After going through that weekend, you know, I was shocked to my very core. I remember coming back and going to a coffee shop and talking to the person on the behind the desk and getting a drink, and I kind of mumbled a explanation of what I had just gone through, and she kind of like saw me, like the real me, and was like, I understand. And like we shared something unsaid, and I thought to myself, this was must feel like must be like how people feel when they come back from Burning Man, just having an experience.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was in a daze for, you know, sometime after that. There were some more trainings afterwards, how to sit in a circle, really like training me how to even start my own circle. And by the year's end, I was like, okay, I want to share this with other people. It's crazy what it's done to me, and I want to start my own. So I took the steps. I got like a mentor, and February 1st, 2019 was the very first, or maybe it was February 2nd, but it was Super Bowl Sunday. Very first circle, mm-hmm. and it's been running ever since.
Wow.
Every other Sunday. Yeah.
And it's amazing because you and I staffed one of the initiation weekends that February. I actually had no idea that that was the time that you started your circle.
Yeah, so it was... it was not February when we first met each other, but it was actually December, or maybe it was... So I went to my weekend in October, and then by December, I was ready to go back and staff another weekend. I was just like, I want to come back for myself.
Wait a minute. Oh my god.
What's on the other side of this, and how I can help. And so I remember just being in a big gymnasium, and you were doing some handstands, and I was like, I, too, am attempting to work on handstands. Hello, fellow human. And you talked about your podcast. You talked about David Galina.
David Galina! Shout out!
A human that I had met over the summer. And we really connected on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, my world was shook up and crazed. And so a few months later, I started a circle.
Wait, okay, so you're telling me that on my initiation weekend, that's when we originally met. Because if it was December...
Well, you were staffing, so I don't...
Staffing. Did I... Okay, hold on. We gotta get the timing here. 2018 December was my initiation weekend. And then... Was it not the next March?
Oh, yeah, so I was there for your, yeah, it might, I guess, maybe.
But it was definitely so my
I was there
weekend.
for your,
Okay, you were there for the initiation.
I'm pretty sure but I was then, there to watch you, like, get your name, but I also came back in February, or March, yeah, it was, yeah. like, that early, and,
Yeah, maybe it was March.
And I think that's when we first, like, that's really connected, and then yes. you mentioned David Galina and podcasting.
David Galina.
And then maybe a month or two after that
is when I
came here.
Yes.
You were on my podcast, which I also started at the beginning of the year because I was just like, I want to grow my horizons and talk to people.
Yes.
And the podcast is a great excuse to talk to people.
It's a fantastic, it's one of the best excuses I have found, that's yeah. for sure. That's absolutely for sure. Now, Tyler, there's a lot. And I want to also see, do you want to, maybe not in this very moment, because mm-hmm. we have to talk about that circle. We got to talk more about that. Do you want to talk about your time here, you know?
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly right here.
Yeah, he's gesturing around, you know, he's gesturing.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe almost a year and a half ago, I think it was April of 2019, I had the pleasure of coming here, and when I interviewed you on
yes.
my podcast,
yes.
the Lumbertron podcast, you mentioned that you facilitated MDMA experiences for people,
mm-hmm.
and me being the man stepping into what's possible in the world was like, whoa, that sounds crazy. Wonder if I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like something I want to get into.
And this is also to say that I am not providing these. Okay, thank you very much, very much, friends. You know, just if I happen to be around as this happens, you know.
This man is a magic of happenstance, coincidence, and There's a word I'm looking for. I don't know the word right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I was telling Tyler also, like, about my experiences at Zendo, like, those times, like, sitting at Burning Man for other people and, like, just working in, like, Conscious Crew, all that stuff. You know, we were, like, going through all that on the podcast. And then it just, like, it sparked a flame inside of this man.
Yeah.
As some real interest.
So I was pursuing self-love, as is my work. And so I came here and I had an experience just like that. Fuzzman was with me just as he is now. Wonderful mm-hmm. fuzzy cat.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just got, like, a strong feeling that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot of things in mm-hmm. my life. Mm-hmm. There was a lessening of control. A giving up of a lot of ego. At that point, I was training for an ultra marathon race, and I realized, like, what am I doing to myself? I don't enjoy this, and it hurts. And so I quit. Yeah, it was huge. And so for the longest time after that, it was something that I was able to kind of touch back on, like a touchstone. Come back to that feeling. Everything's gonna be okay. Good stuff.
Wow. And it was definitely, it sounds like it was a feeling that you hadn't touched upon before. Or that maybe it had been a long time.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, unique and new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of in that state, did you, I remember there was a lot of journaling.
Mm-hmm. The next day I just woke up. You know? Poured out all of everything onto a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, awesome.
Wow. And it was, what had you go past any of the fears that you had about trying something like that?
Well, it's about kind of opening the door and establishing a pattern of, like, seeking new experiences, you know, slowly stepping into that growth mindset with going to the New Warrior Training Adventure. With just like, if I can stand at this precipice of the unknown, go through it, and come out totally changed, like, clearly some of these things can be good for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, I'm not no longer so risk averse as to just shun all worldly experiences that are just like, oh, drugs, those are for weirdos. Because that was definitely something that I was struggling with.
There we go.
Just like, only weirdos use drugs.
Yeah.
Only the strange others use drugs.
Yeah. Interesting. And it's interesting because I'm wearing a very furry jacket right now.
That you are.
And so, you know, it's just kind of fun to, you know, there's a little bit of a silliness to that, my friends.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there's a history to that. Like, I remember when I wore this furry jacket and I was on X substance and I was doing all of these things. But yes, it is quite silly.
He filled in the blanks.
He was quite silly wearing a furry jacket with no shirt.
He filled it right in the blanks. And so Tyler, I honor that you've been able to do this for yourself, that you've been able to step into these experiences where there's so much unknown and how the unknown can be so, like, uncertain and scary and uncomfortable sometimes.
I think that's what is kind of like laying down that foundation is really kind of like right now. That's where all that work is hitting the road. All of that is just like, I want to say like paying dividends, but it's putting me at a level where I wouldn't be if I hadn't done any of that. Because what's going on in the world right now feels like the big unknown. I don't have a timetable for this. I don't know where I should be in X amount of months. There's no plan and everything is scary sometimes.
So, the apocalypse.
The apocalypse.
The unveiling.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's
So it's almost added that ability for yourself to be like, well, I've been dancing in the unknown for a little while now.
Trust. Yeah. Going through the experience to just know that I can be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. That's all I have to say about that. Now, Tyler, you have, those that are not watching the video can see that we have a lovely, lovely little fuzzy stuffed animal friend that you've brought with you.
Slothy.
Who is this?
Slothy is a wonderful, wonderful companion. And Slothy is actually a wedding present that I got. I got married in 2017, despite mm-hmm. all of my best efforts to just go crazy and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wedding present, and I don't really know how long he's been in my household, but one of the healing modalities or ways of change that I've discovered is inner child work. Working with that little boy that's still inside me, still inside you, still inside all of us. There's a child in there.
Even the little fuzz man.
We are just children grown big. And Slothy here is actually a representation that I can call upon to really, really love and get in touch with that inner child whenever I need to. Almost as if to reparent my young child, giving him the things that he may not have gotten or just didn't feel like the world was able to provide.
Yeah, I love that. So what are some messages that you have given Slothy?
So it can just be something as simple as just like, I am scared or I am freaking out about something. I'm overwhelmed. And to just go, just hug the sloth. Just love. Because that's, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's just my little boy freaking out. And it can go sideways and I can try and cope another way. Or I can go straight to the source and just be like, you're okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is amazing how that can just fix it. Instead of just thinking about like, why am I this? Why am I that? Why am I upset? What can I logically do to fix it? It's just like, just loving that part of myself, accepting that feeling and just really just loving that little boy.
That's amazing.
So he's maybe like 7 or 8. It's a very, very important time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I never knew that.
Because, through all of this work, I have discovered a core wound, you know? And that is a feeling abandoned, not good enough, unwanted. And that all stems from when my triplet siblings just showed up. I was an only child till about 7, triplets. And then just all of a sudden I was no longer an only child.
Oh,
and so I took
gosh.
On the message that I was not wanted. I was, because there's a lot of attention dividing with 3 extra kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Triplet.
Yeah.
Triplet siblings. Wow.
It was a big deal then, too.
I believe it. It's like, it's a big deal now, big deal then.
Yeah.
Always, always a big deal. And so with the kind of, how is giving those positive messages to Slothy, how has that changed your inner dialogue that you've had with yourself?
Well, that's tough to say because I probably didn't even know that I was having an inner dialogue for most of my life if I was telling myself the messages. I can tell you what I wasn't telling myself. Yeah, I certainly wasn't saying that I love myself. I certainly wasn't saying that, you know, I'm beautiful. I certainly wasn't saying that I'm worthy of love and support. Like, those were things that, like, I had to practice. Yeah. So, even just the internal dialogue change of just like, I am safe. Little affirmations like that have been introduced.
Yeah. So even
taken in.
Even previous times, there would be almost a negative inner dialogue saying that you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not worthy of love. Like,
Yeah.
All those types of
those everything. Things that like I could feel in my body maybe or just like the living in fear.
Yeah.
And those are kind of the words I might associate with it.
Yeah.
And or scarcity. That's a big one. It's like I don't have enough. There's not enough to go around. Got to work all the time because I don't have any money. Got to be afraid because I'm going to lose my job, house, all of the things. Yeah, just all those little things that I've taken on. It's just from a little kid and brought forward because of, you know, how it was brought up, how I was raised, what my environment looked like at the time.
Yeah,
My needs weren't met. Yeah.
And so how does showing yourself more self-love, how's that shown up in your relationship, in your marriage?
Yeah. It's been a real change because projection has always been my MO, my go-to coping mechanism for just like the things I don't like in myself. I see them in you. You are. Boom, 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 boom. It's just like taking those things that I hate most in myself, seeing them in another person, my wife, and just wanting to berate her or bring her down for that.
Yeah.
And so coming to the relationship with a sense of my needs matter, and meeting those needs, and then being able to own my side of life and hold her responsible for her side of emotions and feelings and reactions, and just... It's a lot more natural. I mentioned the relationship was codependent. You know, like if she was upset for some reason, then I would feel like I've got to fix that. You know, it's probably my fault. I've got to fix it. And just like feeling that uncomfort and stress when, you know, she's responsible for all her feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And when did you first learn about codependency? Where did you first hear about that concept?
I think I probably heard it around the time that I was starting to sit in a circle with the Mankind Project. Oh, no, wait. Bring it back. That year, you know, prior to finding a circle of men, that was when I first was in therapy.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing all kinds of work with my goal being, you know, friendship, connection, community. And I was getting introduced to all kinds of wonderful concepts, like the drama triangle, the victim, the persecutor, the rescuer.
Yeah, nice.
And codependence was in there. So I was just like, okay, I see it. I'm in it. Can't fix it right now, but that's my life. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, your wife, how is she... like seeing you like change throughout all of this, like how has that experience been for her?
What up, Tyler?
Got a beautiful roommate here.
We got Shad Walsh.
How has she seen me? It's my first answer is always just like, well, I can't speak for her, but I mean, I could certainly try to. She shows me a lot of love and there's a lot of pride and you know, like what I've become and the things that I do. And, it's also, difficult because there's a level of like, as I get more emotionally intelligent and learn how to communicate better, I want everyone around me to be at that level. I want to be able to communicate with others effortlessly.
Yeah.
I want that free-flowing exchange of solid boundaries,
vulnerabilities,
needs.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, she's not done all of the work and things that I have been fortunate enough to discover in my life. And so there's some friction there sometimes. But it's been a lot better than it has been in the past, which is like acknowledging our own needs and just me stepping into the relationship from a place of fullness and not trying to own her shit.
Yeah.
And I know that she appreciates that. She's always telling me how grateful she is for our communication, that we do that, awesome. That we don't fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you like talk things through, figure things out.
Check in. What's going on?
What in the heck is going on right now? Fuzzman, look at him go. Again, those that are not watching the video, Fuzzman has been here quite some time, and he is a majestic beast.
Takes one to know one.
Thank you.
Boom.
Thank you. And then the train just keeps continuing there. Takes one to know one. See? Now, Tyler.
Now, Seth.
When you think about what is the most important thing that you could let the listeners out there, those that don't have community, those that are not feeling as though they are connected fully to their body or their emotions or their sense of purpose or even in their feeling like they are in their power, feel like they are disempowered, not even understanding the positives of power in itself. What do you want to let them know?
It's definitely hard to distill down into one thing. A lot of things rolled through my mind as you were saying this. One of them was don't be afraid to ask for help. But then I thought, asking for help is scary. Be afraid to ask for help, but do it anyway.
Just
like, ask for help. You're worth it. Know that you're worth it. You're worth help. You're worth having support. You are worthy of love and support. Self-talk is a practice, and negative self-talk can almost be an addiction. You know, if I'm feeling disempowered, chances are that's a practiced habit of going down that path of negative self-talk or something like that. So practice creates new ways of being. Gratitude practice, being grateful for things. One way to be in contact with that little child inside of you is just to ask yourself, how am I feeling? Cause he or she is responsible for those core emotions, you know, mad, sad, glad, feared, shame, those basic needs. And so when something's, you know, just ask yourself, what am I feeling? Get better at that. Get in contact with that child. That's the start.
And I heard shame in there.
Yeah. That's a big one.
It's a
pattern in my life. It's a go-to.
It's a GT. What has been some of your shame stories?
Ooh, man. I even did a shame-releasing ritual at some time. It was great.
What? What is that?
It was writing down the things that I was ashamed of on a piece of paper and then sitting in front of a group of people and saying all of them, all the things that I'm deeply ashamed of, and then burning it. Wow. That was pretty cool. So I say that I'm very familiar with shame because the way that I coped as a child with that wound of not feeling enough or wanted was food. And it was always just a very deeply shameful process of not wanting to be seen, eating and just being very secretive about it. So there was so much shame accompanied with that I was brought up with. And that carried forward into just like, you know, like the cycle of like overeating and feeling shameful. And then eventually when it was dieting, it was just the binge restrict cycle. So decoupling like food and shame is just it's difficult, and it's hard work.
Would you say you kind of had like a binge eating disorder of sorts?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, to say the words, I had a disorder, I have a disorder, it's like what I had was unmet needs, and I had coping mechanisms that weren't necessarily serving me so well.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because, you know, like...
What an empowered way to say it, too. Mm,
yeah. I think that's learning what I've learned, that's the best way that I could put it. Because, I've done some time in a eating recovery place, and I've met people who, like, personify their disorder, and they live with it, and it's like, this is my disorder, and I never really resonated with that. It's always felt like a coping mechanism, just like, I'm just doing what I know how to do. I'm just trying to take care of myself, and this is the tool that I've got.
Yeah.
So.
Did that fit, does it almost, I almost see like an identity story in there that you looked out for almost in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like potentially that others were maybe stuck in that identity, stuck in that story, making it harder to get out.
Mm.
I definitely know that for myself, I feel very fortunate that there's a lot of like some of the harder times of my life that there was never a diagnosis of anything.
Yeah.
You know?
You got the diagnosis of being human and having a hard time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, how do I get out of this? Like, really, how can I grow from this? How can I find the other side of things?
And I think one of the ways is to ask for help, because I can't solve all my problems and I only know what I know. So being in the box of my own brain that wants to solve all the problems and doesn't have the answers, got to get out input from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case was therapy, reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Kitty loaf.
Kitty loaf?
Yeah. That's what a kitty loaf looks like.
Oh, that's a kitty loaf.
Yeah.
That's Buzzman on the windowsill is the kitty loaf. Just a... Just a fresh batch.
Sorry, I just like cats.
Yeah. Hey, you know, same here. And so there's been just so much, there's been so much work done on yourself. And would you say that there's always good work to be done?
I don't need to put the qualifier good on it, but there's always work to be done.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it's, would you say it's always worth it?
I think that's like going through something hard and feeling pain, and it's just like, before I do it, it's like trying to do cost-benefit analysis. Is it worth it? It's like, it's always worth it when I'm on the other side of a healing or a growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say to those that are experiencing a lot of resistance?
Oh man, resistance in my life, resistance shows me exactly where I need to go or change. When my life is at its best, I'm experiencing flow. Things are working. The word I was looking for previously was synchronicity.
Whoa.
Yep. That's another thing. Trying to remember something, brain doesn't know, like just let it go. And it comes, the flow, it comes when I let go. And life is kind of like that. Where I'm really resistant to something shows me where I maybe need to pour energy. If I'm resisting something, that I probably really need to do it. Or if I'm resisting something, like something that I'm just like trying so hard to change and it's like really clearly not meant to be. It's,
there's
a lot of ways I can interpret my own life and the signals it gives me, but resistance is a beautiful thing.
Wow. And so it sounds like you've developed quite a positive relationship with resistance. Or at least you...
I've begun to see it not as just like a shitty wall, a blocker in my life, but it's just like another one of those cues. Just something to pick up on. It's a blinking light.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Huh. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because I think I've had moments in my life where the resistance is there and I'm just maneuvering around it all the time.
Yeah, like a big part of my work is stillness. My resistance to stillness.
Mm-hmm.
When I can find my true needs when I'm in stillness, with meditation or just taking it easy, I can find relaxation and let myself truly rest. And it's just like a lot of old habits of just like gotta stay busy, gotta ignore it, gotta go around it, and when I just need it, that's what I need.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fun. Now Tyler, we have about 10 more minutes until we got
clock.
World Tapping Circle with Sonia Sophia, EFT Tapping, Emotional Freedom Techniques. Check it out, gang. It's pretty sick.
Emotional freedom.
And like that. Tyler's never done it before.
Never done it before.
So we're going to see how it goes for him.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be really great.
I believe it.
What else would you like to share with the folks? Our ampers, our dear friends.
Ampers, dear friends. Well, dear friends, I don't know where you're at in your self-love journey, but whatever that you tell yourself will become true. So maybe tell yourself how great you are.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And for those looking to find mature masculinity, how can they get involved with the Mankind Project?
Well, they can probably go to themankindproject.org. It's been a while since I've been on that website, and I remember the interface did not tell me very clearly what it was all about or how to get in touch, but there are places to put an email, put a contact, and there are representatives that will get back to you, I'm so told.
Yeah.
Or you could just, like, call me or email me, because that's what I had to do. That's why I felt like a feelings cult, because I had to just get it. I had to just talk to someone, which I was deathly afraid of doing. Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, I can't just automate process.
I just can't send in a form and they can't give me everything I need. I have to actually talk to someone. I don't want that.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah. Tyler, with your permission, we can definitely put your phone number and email in the podcast description. You might be getting so many phone calls, and it's going to be so worth it.
Please censor the nudes that you sent me. I want them to be tasteful.
Yeah. I hear the request there. I think the listeners hear that request as well.
That's good.
And I just want to say as well is that, Tyler, your circles have given me the space to express some of the hardest moments of the last, I would say 6 months of my life. You know, the toughest moments where I'm just like, I don't know what's going on, and I just, you know, like that. I felt so seen and so supported. I knew that it was almost like this, just so like reliable, that is just a very unique, part of my support system. And so I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. I want to honor you for that.
I receive that. I'll let that in.
Receive.
I got a beautiful thing going on. And it's really beautiful to see the lives that it changed. Mm-hmm. Continues to change.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it changed mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like what brings me back. It's just like, man, I might not be feeling like the best version of myself right now, but coming in to see someone struggling and making progress is just like, whoa, maybe I did do something great.
It's
just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so sick. It's just so great. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's unique. It's you. It's an extension of your love. Mm-hmm. Extension of, like, your mission.
Yeah. I do have a mission statement.
Let's hear it.
I create a world possibilities by withholding judgment.
Boom!
It's ever evolving. It might be changing sometime soon. I'm still creating that world of possibilities, but maybe it's not judgment anymore.
Maybe it's not judgment anymore.
I don't know. Feeling it out.
And what is your animal name?
Golden Bear.
Golden Bear. He's showing his necklace and his water bottle. Golden Bears.
Golden Bear is definitely a resource.
Mm-hmm.
The wise adult part of me that just knows what's best.
Yeah.
So listen to Golden Bear. Can't steer you wrong.
Yeah. So it's almost like you have both. You have slothy inner child.
Slothy inner child, golden bear, wise adult.
Yeah.
And then my adolescent ego.
Yes.
That hopefully listens to both of them.
Just finds that beautiful balance.
Yeah.
That beautiful balance. Wow, that is amazing. That is wonderful. Wow. Tyler, what is one question if you could ask an expert on self-compassion, almost like a master spirit cosmic love / self-love, what would it be?
How did you get to be a master?
Oh, there it
and
is.
And how can I get there?
Okay. Okay, that's the question. That's the question.
Who appointed you master spirit?
How did you
get certified? What's your cert?
What's your cert? What's
you
your
wanna
cert
be on my
process?
Podcast? You want to be on my podcast, Master Spirit? That's what I do with them.
Okay. That's research. That's research. You know, that's just research. And final motto. Do you have like almost like an affirmation for someone else that they could take home right now?
I mean, an affirmation is usually like something that's true, and what's true about them may not be true for me, and what's true about me might not be true for them. So I can't just be like, here's an affirmation. But I got a great one you could tell yourself. Uh-huh. And it's, I love and approve of myself.
Boom. There you go.
Say it a few times.
Say it just a few times.
Look
at
yourself in the mirror and say it. It might be really hard. I know it was for me when I started.
I know it was for me when I started. But look at where he is now. Look at where he is. Tyler, thanks so much for being on the show.
Now.
Yeah, I'm a sis now. Sis house now. Yeah. Sis house now. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is exciting. We knew this was coming.
Yes.
We knew, and we know that the smoke is on its way out. Like, it's not forever. I'm going to be taking care of myself. I'm going to be hitting the float tank tonight. I'm gonna, you know, the EFT 3 minutes after this. I'm going to be doing a, what is it called? A chakra cleanse, healing sound bowl, energy thing, you know, on Wednesday.
Oh, I thought you were just doing these back to back. Like, do you sleep?
Yeah.
Do you
sleep? And then Tuesday, I know I'm going to have I'm going to try to get Rolfing done on Tuesday. Cause
Rolfing sounds like,
cause Tyler, I can't really run outside right now because it's not very good for my lungs, and that I'm not really used to not running / walking.
I know, me too. Me too. It's been a big part of like lowering the freedom level. I just feel like I can't do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So now is the time for that stillness, mm-hmm. that cultivate that inner peace and love and healing.
Yep. And it's, we're just unveiling to get to the better days, my friends. So take care. Love yourselves out there.
Love and holy smokes, that was beautiful. Tyler, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It means so much to have your support and your love in my life and to have you in my orbit. And to those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while now and haven't scheduled a call to connect one-on-one, I invite you to do so. That there is a lot of beauty to be had, and even more joy to be experienced, as you can see throughout the show. And I want to make sure that you are in the best place in your life possible. So check out loveamp.com and schedule a 15-minute call, and we'll see what kind of other magic we can bring into your life. Until then, love yourselves out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.